Well, good morning. I'll let you meander to a seat here. Thank you for coming. Trust that you are well, and we're so grateful to be able to gather for worship this morning. During the first 4 weeks of 2022, it's our desire to use these combined Sunday school sessions to magnify several aspects of our church ministry. And I think most all of you were either here or able to live stream last week as Pastor led us in this emphasis on prayer. And I know that entire day had significant impact for us, Lord willing, for a long time. This morning, we plan to consider some of our neighborhood evangelism and discipleship ministries. And then, Lord willing, next week we'll try to get organized for the year in terms of Sunday school. And the following week, the 23rd, it's our plan, Lord willing, to focus on how, as a congregation, to be compelling, caring and compelling to those who visit us on Sundays, come to worship with us. And so we hope these emphases will position us for a good year together as the body of Christ. I'll introduce what we're doing today, but before I do that, why don't we open in prayer? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we gather as your people, and we are mindful that we are dust, and we're thankful that you know our frame. We're thankful that you deal with us not as we deserve, but in exactly the opposite way, in your mercy. And we pray that today you might, by your Spirit, meet with us, strengthen us, direct us. And we pray that our hearts and our affections and minds would be lifted upward, and in such a way that this might be a week where you truly are glorified in this body of believers. Thank you for the opportunity we have now. We pray that it might be Spirit-filled and beneficial, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, we'll provide something of an update on several of our neighborhood ministries. Some of you will be familiar with some of these, but I think for many of us, we know they exist, but we don't know a lot about them, maybe don't know how to pray for them. And so we're hoping that our time together this morning can be of help in that way. I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the word parish. Perhaps something like this: an old church building in some pastoral scene in the British Isles with some gravestones surrounding it, and a few attenders, and not very much gospel witness. The remnants of a bygone era. Well, what if we had a parish here at Mount Calvary Baptist Church? Well, we of course do not technically have a parish that our government or a denomination has given us jurisdiction over. But any true church like ours is a local manifestation of the body of Christ. And that locale means something spatially. It consists of real people, like you, meeting in a real place, a certain location. And that place has surroundings, not just buildings, although there are a lot of buildings, and we're seeing a lot of development actually in this area, but also a community filled with perishing people. People just like you and me would be without Jesus Christ. And so, our church has endeavored for many decades to minister the gospel in neighborhoods immediately surrounding our church property, within approximately a 1.5 mile radius. The Lord has raised up among our assembly quite a few different ministries over the years. Our ministry philosophy is not that we come up with ideas and build programs and then go try to find people to somehow fill those programs. Actually, we try to see needs and then meet those by God's grace. And the ones that you will hear about this morning from these brothers are only representative. In fact, there are many ways that members of our church evangelize and disciple folks in this community and beyond. I'll just give a couple of examples. I was reminded of this on Tuesday as I was standing among some of you in Traveler's Rest at the graveside of David Lint, and was feeling in a new way the effect, the profound spiritual eternal effect of the ministry of the Calvary Lighthouse mission that Paul Keck directs. Another example is that some of you help with faith ministries that put together materials and send them out really across the world to evangelize and disciple. Our church sign holds up saving truth week after week to any who will lift up their eyes and look as they drive by. And I would love to tell you, because it's something that I've had the privilege of with my family becoming involved in the last few months, I'd love to tell you about Friday nights and the ministry that 40 or so of our folks have to teenagers in these neighborhoods. But we don't have time for everything. And so I just want to convey that what we're doing this morning isn't by no means exhaustive. It's representative. And our hope is that by spending a few minutes hearing the heart of some of our ministry leaders, we as a congregation might be better positioned to understand what the Lord is doing in these ministries, to pray more knowledgeably for these ministries. So we'll each of these men will put up prayer requests at the end of their part of the presentation, and to commit ourselves anew. Each one of us. We are the church. We are Mount Calvary Baptist Church. To commit ourselves anew to the mission of taking the word to the world, especially in a local sense. Over the past 7 months, one of the richest privileges I've had is to become much more familiar with some of these ministries and with the people involved in them. And so it's a privilege to have some of these leaders, faithful, hopeful, love-driven, laboring brothers and sisters, and I want you to hear directly from some of them this morning. So first, we'll hear from Brother Ed Freeman, longtime elder here at Mount Calvary, and the one who shepherds the La Iglesia Bautista Monte Calvario, our Spanish ministry. Tyler Trometer will come next. Tyler is involved in several ministries, but he'll particularly focus on the neighborhood Bible class that meets on Sunday mornings. And both of these men carry heavy responsibilities on Sunday morning as it is, so I'm grateful for their adding this in. Third will be Kevin Calvino. Kevin represents one of our two children's Bible clubs that meets on weeknights. And Tim Dahlhausen was scheduled to be here. Tim is one of our UIT men and was going to talk about our door-to-door evangelism, but he is ill and unable to be here this morning. So I'm going to go ahead then and turn it over to Brother Freeman.
Good morning. I trust all of you are doing well. Take a look at the Spanish ministry this morning under two major headings. Really, one is going to be our thankfulness for the Lord's blessings in the past, and another is what the Lord's doing in the present. And I'm going to try to read this. It's not normally what I do very well, but if I don't, I'll get off track here. But I want to look back for just a moment in the ministry. Just want to express our thankfulness for those who really have worked in the growth of the ministry over the years. The beginning, Ken Casillas and a number of others really had that initial vision of realizing that our community around the church here has a significant number of persons that speak Spanish as their primary language. And so we began with a single service on Sunday afternoon each week and a lot of house-to-house visitation. And over the years, we had people that you'll recognize, the John Mark Steels, the Crockers, the Barleys working in the ministry, and certainly here locally, the Pettores, the Lopez family, the Yonts, and many, many others, especially helping with the music and many other aspects of the ministry. But I want to talk just for a minute about the present. I got a picture up there, a little bit of our events. But, you know, the Lord has sent hundreds of adults through our doors over the years. And we've seen God's work, first of all, in our own lives, and seeing His power to transform sinners like ourselves. And although most of these folks have not stayed very long, and certainly most of them have rejected the gospel, it has been an incredible, wonderful blessing to us to see just this living illustration of a person who has actual, visible opposition to the Word of God be transformed into a person with a hunger for God's Word and growing in such obvious and visible ways. I'm going to go off script here just for a second. The other day, one of these men, he was so opposed to the Word of God. We were walking, he pulled me out to the hallway down there in the fellowship hall, and he opened his Bible, the Chronicles, the Prayer of David, and he had highlighted all the verses, and he just looked at me and he said, "This is special. This is special." And I just thought how the Lord has encouraged our hearts to see the power of God's Word to transform lives. And every day I go down there and we open up the Bible, I say, we don't have to apologize. We don't have to promote it. We just have to let the Word of God go forth, and it will transform the sinner. And another one of our men is memorizing the greater part of the Sermon on the Mount. And I tell you, these guys are growing because the Word of God does that, doesn't it? It's a blessing. So it's a great encouragement to me personally. And so we've seen some changes in the ministries over the years. Entire families coming now. We get to minister to the dad, the mom, the children. We really don't have any children coming to the ministry now apart from their families. Seeing them come to Christ, having a marriage take place, following the Lord in baptism, growing in Christ. And now they're taking on some responsibility in the ministry, which is a real blessing. Even helping in the nursery, which has always been such a tremendous need for us. Some of you have heard about our needs in the nursery. And I'll tell you, I don't know who of you out there work in the nursery, but it is my favorite ministry. Love the nursery. Thank you so much for your labor in the nursery. Those of you who are doing that, our ministry would not be possible without the nursery. It would not be. I have found several children that can shut me down very easily and very quickly. And they do it with regularity. So praise the Lord for the nursery, and praise the Lord for those of you who work in the nursery. We have three services per week in roughly the same time frames you have here. We start a little later on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, afternoon, and Wednesday evening. Just finishing a book study on the book of Ephesians. And that's been a real blessing. So this year, we've started out with this verse in 2 Peter 3. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So our phrase is, growing together in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So that's what we're working on here in these first Sundays of the year. So our great need, though, is not so much help in the various functions of the ministry, but the great need of prayer for God's continued work in the lives of those who come our way. And so I would ask for your prayers for us as the most important and vital ministry that you can have with us. And I think I can put some of the requests up on the screen. So some of these would be to pray, obviously, for the salvation of those who regularly attend but have yet to accept Christ. And those are adults who come, and just week after week, they listen, but they go away. And some of them have been coming for quite a long time. Really would appreciate your prayers about that. Pray for the spiritual growth of those who are new converts and for them to become grounded in the faith and grow in love as a local body of Christ. Pray for the families to grow in their understanding of their roles within the family and for parents who have not been Christians very long to understand how to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, especially since many were parents before they came to Christ. And I think I need to keep moving with that. Pray for the children and the teens of regular attending families to be saved and to become true disciples of Christ. For the Lord's protection of them in their secular school environments, and for them to learn to be strong in the Lord in the face of opposition. Pray for open doors, for new contacts. We're very excited about the contacts that we have, but we just pray for more opportunity. And certainly would ask you to pray for the wisdom and direction, of the workers that we have with us right now. Just put them before you real quick. For the teens, Tim and Liz Dahlhausen, David and Julie Freeman are teaching the teens right now. The children, Ambrose and Bersethi Rouse, Esther Neal, Lindsay Cummings, Susan Lukey. I know my daughter, Laura, would appreciate your prayers as she continues to coordinate our rotation of pianists. Really thankful for her ministry over the years. But I would again ask you to pray for much wisdom this year as we look to organize around a covenant and come together as a church body and pursuing this theme, growing together in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. Thank you.
Well, I'm thankful to get to speak with you this morning about Neighborhood Bible Class. This morning, when you walked in, you likely received, let's see if I can get this to work, there it goes, you likely received a worship guide, and right on the front of it, it has our mission statement, and just to keep us all roused, I think we might just read it together. Why don't we go ahead and do that? It says, taking the word to the world to make true disciples of Jesus Christ, and to mature the members of his body, the church, for displaying his likeness and for glorifying God, our Father, in all we do and say. Neighborhood Bible Class has taken our mission statement right out of the church's mission statement, making true disciples of Jesus Christ. Our surrounding community, or as Pastor Newton just called it, our parish, as it were, is full of people who might name the name of Christ, but really don't enjoy a real vibrant relationship with him. And our precious Savior transforms every person who truly becomes his follower. Our name, Neighborhood Bible Class. A Bible is laying open, and that's what we want to emphasize to all those who attend Neighborhood Bible Class. The Bible is absolutely necessary for us to know and love God the way we should to become true disciples. Our vision in Neighborhood Bible Class is to sustain relationships that move toward Christ and the church and enable converts to reach the community. God has placed Mount Calvary in the west part of Greenville. Here we have a providential cross-cultural opportunity. Socioeconomic, educational, and ethnic diversity within our parish here create a need for intentional efforts to connect with our neighbors, challenges that the early church faced. NBC exists to sustain relationships with people who have many obstacles to overcome in coming to Christ and into our church. NBC provides an intimate, less formal setting for people from our community to get to know our church. Though everyone is welcome, obviously, to all of our church services here, getting those from our community to continue attending is often difficult. NBC is one means by which we attempt to keep building bridges to these souls and to roll out the red carpet in order to bring these people to Christ and disciple them towards church membership. Most of those who attend Neighborhood Bible Class ride our church minibuses operated by our faithful bus drivers and riders. NBC begins at 11 a.m. And runs concurrently with our morning service here. We meet in the choir suite directly under where I'm standing right here. And we begin with an assembly time where all the children and the adults are together. You can see a picture of that. Assembly time includes singing, prayer, and responsive Bible reading. We structure our assembly time to replicate on a smaller scale the philosophy of Mount Calvary. Our aim is to honor the Lord and whet the appetite of our attendees to worship in our main services. Class time after the assembly time lasts around 45 minutes. Teachers lead our children's classes, teens, and adults. Class time often includes a Bible lesson, prayer, crafts, a snack, some role-playing, some misbehavior, and lots of love. With the adults, we have covered several different series over about the last decade, several on the Gospels. We've gone over the basics for believers, kind of a series, and now we're doing a survey of the Old Testament. Fellowships are one way that we share life together. We think that sharing life with those who we minister to is important. COVID, like for all of us, has limited some of this, but we try to get together when we can. Some who serve in NBC have also invited folks into their homes. We think that informal kind of fellowship and sharing of life is very important. Sometimes that includes a meal, and sometimes it includes a Bible study. People like the Hatchets were people who enjoy doing things like this. And these are vital opportunities to invite people into our lives and introduce them to the Savior or help them continue to mature. I like the picture on the left up on the screen there. My son Timothy is sitting next to John, and you can see in the background, or maybe you can see in the background, that Judah Griffith is sitting next to another man, Ivan. Our NBC family loves to interact with children just like our church family does, and we count these people our dear friends. Many of you know John, who's sitting next to Timothy. About 3 years ago, John flagged our bus down and asked Paul Mueller and Rick Stutz to come back the next week. John has been with us ever since. God's been working in his life, and we're privileged to have him in our midst so often. Wayne, who you can see in the right picture there, has attended nearly every service here for about 5 years. He started coming after taking his nephew and niece to Kevin Calvino's Cherrydale Bible Club for a few years. We're really grateful for how the Lord really intertwines the ministries that we have here. I'd like to take just a couple of moments to share a couple of practical ideas for reaching out to those in our community or even those people who come through the door here with us. Number one, we should always speak as if our friends from the neighborhood are present. Visits to our church from neighbors in the community are not infrequent. Some are coming with someone who invited them to come, and some of them just walk in. If you're giving a testimony in church, remember that some from our community are probably sitting in the room. We want them to hear and feel that Christ invites all to be part of his body. We should make sure that our words demonstrate Christian love to our neighbors. The second thing is that we should invite people to come with us. So invite people to come with you. If you invite someone to come to church, let it be a come with me kind of an invitation, and maybe less of a drop them off kind of an invitation. If you think that someone might benefit from neighborhood Bible class, then please bring them with you into class. We'd love to have you and them come visit with us. We have a few prayer requests that I'm putting up on the screen there now. We would ask that you would pray for boldness and perseverance in outreach and proclamation. Some days, no one comes to one of the kids' classes, and so the teachers come and there's nobody there. Other days, our classes are very full, and we have to peel kids off the ceiling. We need God's grace to navigate this. We need God's help to boldly teach the scripture lessons as we should. Number two, the Spirit to work in bringing people to Christ. We should pray that God, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, would do the same for those we minister to. Pray God's promise back to him that the entrance of thy words giveth light. Number three, discipleship and assimilation of new believers. Those who have come to Christ need to grow just like the rest of us here. We attempt to do this through Bible study and integration into our church body here. Pray with me that we would see new believers follow the Lord in baptism. Pray that they would invigorate us to reach our communities around us. Pray that we would play a part in the Great Commission to reach into our community, to make disciples, baptize them, and teach them all that the Lord has commanded us.
So thankful for what Tyler really showed today. In the slides, I was looking at him. I started working with the Neighborhood Bible Clubs about 14 years ago with Dave Howell. And in the pictures, not only there's a cohesiveness in the ministries that are at Mount Calvary. I saw a picture of a young lady in Tyler's class that was attending Bible Club when Dave Howell was doing it 15 years ago. So that is just such a blessing to see that cohesiveness, and that we have ways and places for people to go from the Bible clubs when they're 5 to 10 years old into the teen ministry on Friday night, and then into the neighborhood Bible church they're able to work all the way through that. Our prayer with neighborhood Bible clubs really is, as we see on the screen, that God would use us as ambassadors to make appeals to the children and the families in our neighborhoods, that they would be reconciled to Him. The goal of the Bible clubs, and Tyler, you stole a little bit of my thunder, but really, it really makes the point, is the stated goal of our church mission statement: to take the word to the world, and in our case, to our neighborhood, to make true disciples of Jesus Christ. And this is an important thing I'm going to bring up at the end. Very important thing. The leaders that work in Bible Club, that we would become mature as we work with these children, that we would become mature, and that we would display His likeness and glorify God in everything that we do. In Bible clubs, our focus is on the hearts of the children, and everything that we do, and I'm going to be talking about that, is very intentional in terms of working with their hearts. Again, we're working generally with 5 to 10-year-olds, but have a specific goal in the front of our mind and the back of our mind to reach their whole family, and we'll talk about how we do that. Currently, there's two Bible clubs. Brian Perkins runs the Monaghan Club, and then I work with a team, and we work with the Cherrydale Bible Club. So who do we work with? And if you just look at the slide for a second, we work with people who are just like we were. These are the characteristics. This is what we were like. And in a lot of ways, they're much like we were and like we are. And in many ways, they're different than how we are. As believers, God has changed our hearts and our lives. And we're praying that He will change the hearts and the lives of the people that are in our neighborhood. And this verse, I think everybody here will be familiar with. But what joy does this bring to your heart when you read this? And we just need to read this because it is such an encouragement. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. And, you know, that is just such a praise of what God has done for us. And that is our prayer for what He will do for them. And we need to remember, and in club, and we actually, as a group, we try to pray every time before we go and pick up the children. We set aside 15 minutes to pray that God would do just this, because we recognize it's the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that is going to work in those kids' lives, not us. We just need to be there, and we need to be faithful, and we need to give His word and His love, and He will do the work. And so our prayer is that God would do for our neighbors what He's done for us. So in a way, people are the same as us, but in a lot of ways, people are different than us. There is a culture, and some of culture is good, but some culture is bad. And really, when we talk about the worldliness culture, that's a bad thing. And that's really what God needs to take out of our lives and take out of the lives of everybody and bring his nature to them. And so about 14 years ago, as I mentioned, I started working with my children, with Dave Hull in Bible Club, and I didn't realize how much I had to learn. I didn't realize that I was working with people who weren't raised the way I was, and they didn't look at the world through the same lens that I look through. And I'm going to give you an example of something that was a shock to me, and I think was probably a shock to a lot of people that come and work in our Bible Club, and that's the topic of getting into fights. Bible Club, the bus is a great place to have a fight. Bible Club is a great place to have a fight. Before Bible Club and after Bible Club is a great time to have a fight. Fights are just something that is a natural thing of Bible Club. And so even though I wasn't raised in a culture where fighting was a good thing or was looked at positively, I knew it was bad. In my mind, I thought everybody knew that it was bad. But as I began to work with the Bible clubs, I realized that to many in our neighborhood, fighting to them is a necessary tool of survival. That's what they do at school. That's what they do at home. That's what they do in their neighborhoods. It shows strength, and they gain respect from fighting. And so being aware of that reality helped us to really understand our neighbors, and it gives us the ability to communicate the gospel truths to them in a way that they'll understand. And understanding our friends helps us to effectively do what we do in Bible Club. So what is it that we do? A few of the things that I have listed up here, bus time, songs, Bible time. We also do some other things that I'm going to talk about, but everything that we do is very, very intentional. And you've heard me say it before, but we're trying to reach the hearts of these children with the Word of God. We're building relationships. We're trying to apply God's Word to life situations and really to provide hope in Christ that they don't have. So our Bible times, as I mentioned, there was always a good time to fight, there's always a good time to goof off, there's always a good time to poke the person next to you. And that's what was happening in our Bible times. Our leaders, who were highly trained because they go to church here and they just understand the word, what they were doing was spending their time trying to keep kids quiet. And so what we did was we said we had to come up with a way to deal with that. And so what we did, because we have such highly trained leaders, instead of having a big group and one person teaching, we broke the club down. And so each leader takes one or two children and we spread out in Boyd Hall. And each leader teaches the lesson to those one or two kids. And as I said, we pray before club that we'll be able to minister to each of those children individually and reach them where they're at. And we don't spend just a short amount of time on a Bible story. Like Adam and Eve, I think Genesis 2 and 3, it's probably about 8 weeks or 9 weeks just on that. Because really what we're doing with these kids in I think, an interesting way, because the leaders are able to take this and apply it to them individually, We're dealing with the nature of God, the nature of man, the nature of sin, the gospel, and we're giving them handouts on a weekly basis with them to be able to memorize the verses that that give them the gospel, and we're having them bring those home, and we're praying that God would use those in their homes, the verses that the kids are memorizing. Another thing, so that's Bible time. Another thing is bus time. A lot of people don't think of bus time as a time of ministry, and bus time can be a very crazy time, but what we try to do there is develop relationships with the kids, find out how their day was, tell jokes with them, review Bible verses with them, talk about the lesson. The bus time is a time to, on the way to club, to prepare them and to get them ready for club. So we're developing that relationship during that. And after club is a time to develop relationships and kind of review what we've done during club. The songs that we sing, very intentional. Songs about creation, songs about the love of God, salvation. Very intentional and very selective in terms of our songs. Our games, you know, we're trying to teach things like, and I think every child loves to win, right? Whether they play by the rules or whether they cheat or whether they lie, it doesn't matter. They want to win. We're working with the kids to try to help them to understand truthfulness and those kinds of things and loving other people and caring about other people. So we use the game times for that. And then we spend a considerable amount of time visiting the families of the people that we're working with. And so we're trying to reach the homes and help them to understand what we're doing with their children and why we're doing it. This is two pictures of some of the events that we do with our kids. At Christmas time, sometimes we've had the children act out the Christmas story, and that is a treat. We probably should video that and show that video here sometime because it's pretty funny, but it is a way to bring the truth to the children. One year we painted pumpkins, you can see there, and every year we decorate Christmas cookies. And we were praying this year that we would have adults attend as well. And by God's grace, this year for the first time we had two adults actually attend the cookie decorating, so that was really an answer to prayer. So how can you pray for us? The simplest way is to go to the church website and look at the mission statement of our church. Really, it is that we would be making true disciples of Jesus Christ, that our team members would become mature members of the body, and that we would display his likeness and glorify God in everything that we do. I asked one of my daughters how Bible Club impacted her, and she said, 14 years of working with Bible Club changed who I am as a person. She said that it actually shaped her calling, what she does for her work. Just because meeting the people and being changed by them and getting to know them and seeing God work in their lives, in their community, and in her life helped her to have a burden to keep doing this for the rest of her life. So I'm just so thankful for that. And, you know, I ask you to pray for us as leaders that God would change us just like we're praying that he would change the children. We ask you to pray for those in the clubs, that God would use his word and his spirit to help us build relationships with them and his family, and that he would draw them to himself and for safety while doing that. And this last verse here, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you.
Thank these brothers for this. You know, it takes a lot of time and effort and really filling of the Spirit to lead these ministries. And I'm so grateful for them and others like them. I want to end by talking a little bit about our door-to-door evangelism. On Tuesday evenings during the summer and Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock, you might say, why 3 o'clock? Well, we've got folks who are in our choir and have other responsibilities, so we have to do it early enough to factor in all of that. 3 o'clock during the school year, we'll resume again, Lord willing, next week, the 16th. Some of our folks gather right across the lobby here in the old choir room, pray, divide into small groups, and then go out to selected
streets in our neighborhood to give the gospel. For many years, this ministry has been managed by our UIT guys. It's a chance for them to be directly involved in evangelism, to have some leadership opportunity, and to develop a shepherding instinct with the people in this area. And this weekly visitation really provides a seedbed for many other ministries. These ministries are interconnected, and a couple of the men have already mentioned that, but we attempt to keep a very up-to-date database of our contacts in order to capitalize on these touch points, on the providential doors that the Lord opens. And this information provides really crucial in preparation for large-scale ministries that we have, particularly in the summer, like Neighborhood Bible School and Cola Wars. But more fundamentally, this, along with other ministries that we've heard some about today, really has to do with our DNA. I don't know when the last time was that you reviewed the 11 non-negotiables of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. I won't give you a quiz this morning. Maybe next week. But the fifth of those 11 non-negotiables says that we believe in systematic community evangelism. That's an aspiration in the sense that we want to continue growing in it. But it's not just a whim. That really has been part of Mount Calvary Baptist Church, by God's grace, who we've been for decades, over four decades. And so we're taking our cue from Acts 20 and Paul saying that he taught publicly and from house to house, door to door. We want to be innocent of the blood of the people surrounding us. And not just for conscience sake. But because we, as Pastor reminded us last month in anticipation of Christmas, we have a message that is good tidings of great joy for all people. Why would we not joyfully share that with the people around us? So as you think about this ministry of door-to-door evangelism, we would offer a few prayer requests in relation to that. One would be for hopeful patience. Hopeful patience in sowing the seed of the gospel. This is not a ministry that we continue in because there are a lot of tangible results. We don't have some sort of graph that we track week by week of results. But we're full of hope because the Lord has people in every city. The Lord, I believe, has people on the west side of Greenville for us to reach. So secondly, we would ask prayer for providential leading to those in whose hearts the Lord is working. We believe there are those people. We have some of them come to services, as some of these men have mentioned, every week. And third, for contacts with whom we can have more extensive ministry. We do want to take 5 minutes and give the gospel, if that's all we have in God's providence. But we would love to be able to follow up with Bible studies, with their coming to the neighborhood Bible class, with their children attending some of our ministries, with the ability to follow back up, which is one thing our UIT men do. And fourthly, for boldness, a spiritual boldness to be graciously frank about spiritual realities. You know what it's like to talk to someone that you don't know very well about eternal realities. Well, we want to be gracious. We want to speak as a sinner, a beggar, somebody who's hungry, whom the Lord has given bread, and share that with people who are also hungry. And we've got to be frank about that. People are lost and dying and going to hell, just as we would have been. And finally, a brief word about tracks. It struck me some time ago, a few months ago, that some of us may never walk by the track displays in the hallway upstairs in our education wing. Most of us are creatures of habit. Some of us park up there, and we come in those doors, and we talk after the service, and we go out those doors. And others of us park back there, and we come in these doors, and we mingle in the lobby after the service, and we go back out those doors. If you don't have children, you may never go down that hallway. But our missionary updates are on that hallway, and our tracks are on that hallway. And maybe you have had the feeling that you're not really sure where to start. That we have a lot of tracks available. So you see displayed on the screen just a few suggestions. The one on the far left there is a tract about John Newton and his story called Amazing Grace. The second one to the left is actually a testimony of Sister Ann Dykstra, who's now with the Lord. And that's representative of, I think, nearly 10 tracts that our women's ministries, our ladies' ministries, have produced of testimonies of folks in our church that you could hand out. And you see some others there. Many of you have probably passed out the bridge tract. We're very grateful for Brother Chris Hines, who oversees this ministry after many faithful years of faithful stewardship by Brother Malcolm Evans. If you have questions about tracts, suggestions about tracts, if you want to help in the ministry, we stamp those tracts with our church name and address, etc. I invite you to contact Chris. You're also welcome, of course, to reach out to me. And perhaps we could make it a project in this new year to familiarize ourselves with at least one tract that we're comfortable and feel like we could usefully give, and find at least one new avenue of getting the gospel into the hands of unbelievers. Perhaps we could make that a matter of prayer. Some of these prayer requests that we flashed up, there was a lot of information. Maybe the font was small. We're going to actually post those after Sunday school, and so you can access that on the website along with this Sunday school time in case you want to go back to those. Can I encourage you to perhaps, we're busy people, but to perhaps consider the connection between this week and last week? All right. If we want to be people of prayer, and we want to petition the Lord to do spiritual work, the kinds of things we've considered this morning is one significant aspect of that. So maybe you could lock into one of these requests that was mentioned this morning, or one of these ministries, and make that a matter of weekly prayer. Maybe when you pray for your dinner on Monday evening, you could pray for Brian Perkins and the Monaghan Bible Club, or Tuesday evening for Kevin Calvino and Cherry Dale. Maybe you could pray on Friday evenings for Teen Club. You could, as we're praying corporately, even this morning, we could pray not only for our service, but for our Spanish service down the hill and for Brother Tyler just below us. I think the Lord would be pleased to use those prayers. And I'll end with just one more thought. I've been reflecting a little bit on, as I know we all have, on the homegoing of our brothers over the past couple of weeks. And I actually have connections related to my childhood and college years to a couple of these men. And I will remember those. But probably the thing that's going to stand out to me about a couple of these brothers is their heart for the lost. Brother Raymond Todd had some neighbors, and they had really become grandparents, acting grandparents to these children across the street, and their burden for them to come to Christ. And just not so long ago, just weeks ago, Brother Charlie Hatchett caught me in the lobby downstairs on the way out, and he said, do you have any contacts, neighborhood contacts, that my wife and I could follow up on? These were people who lived for eternity. Their heart was to see that group of people surrounding the throne to swell a little bit more with people from Greenville, South Carolina. And so I think one of the things that we could do to honor their memory and to carry on in their example would be to really pray about how the Lord might enable all of us to renew our commitment to this mission of taking the word to the world, including our very own Jerusalem. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your very own Son to seek and save the lost. Thank you that you did not leave us as wandering sheep. Thank you that you have made it so that we might spend eternity with you, have fellowship with you, to be right with you, to have our sins forgiven. Lord, we do want to be ambassadors of reconciliation. We want to uphold our brothers and sisters in prayer on the front lines. And we ask that you might be pleased to make your word run and be glorified in this area this year. We commit ourselves now to the service to come. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.